If you will turn your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 30, Deuteronomy chapter 30. Tonight, we are continuing our series on the theme, I Choose. My subject tonight, I Choose Prosperity. I choose prosperity because I know what it is not to have, and I know what it is to have. And I like having a whole lot more. And I'll tell you, God wants people to be blessed. But the choices you make in life, they will determine the course of your life. But not only that, the choices that you make, they will affect your entire family. That's why I love this verse that we've chosen to speak from, Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. God says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Blessing or poverty, you could say. Blessing, poverty is a curse. So God wants his people to be delivered from it. Blessing and cursing, therefore choose life. And look at this, that both thou and thy seed may live. God is a generational God, and the choices that you make, the choices that I make, they will affect our children and our children's children and generations to come. And so we need to be wise about following what the Word of God has laid out. I made a choice one day to serve God with my whole being. And that has been my quest for the last 36 years, to know the Lord Jesus Christ and to know him much, much better. God is a good God, and he wants us to live a life of victory and a life of prosperity. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, I'm come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So many people, they want prosperity, yet many people, they don't understand what prosperity is. You can't just take this thing apart. You have to take it in its totality. There are principles to prosperity. And if you miss the principles that I'm going to cover tonight, then you will miss prosperity. Prosperity is not an accident. It must be understood, and it must be planned for one step at a time. My subject tonight, I choose prosperity. Let us pray. Father, thank you for the beautiful music, Lord. Thank you for the song, Lord, and the lyrics to it, and for the praise and worship, Lord, that we've experienced your presence here tonight. And thank you, Lord, for the talents that you put in this church, Lord. And we just bless you and thank you for that. But Lord, speak to our hearts tonight. Help us to understand this subject, because you're the one that gives us power to get wealth. You've sent your son so we could have life and have it more abundantly. Let us tap into the principles of prosperity tonight. And everybody said in Jesus' name, amen. There are principles and there are steps to prosperity. So prosperity is not an action. If you miss these principles, you will miss prosperity. So what is prosperity? Step number one, know what prosperity is. Look at Deuteronomy 8:18. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. Look at this, that he may establish his covenant which he sware unto thy fathers as it is this day. So prosperity is God. Prosperity begins with God, and God wants to bless you. The Bible says God gives prosperity. He gives us power to get wealth, and he does that to establish his covenant with us because we belong to him. Now, I want you to think about, before you got saved, you were a slave to sin. We were in a world of darkness, but we were redeemed by the blood of Jesus. And because of that, we belong to God. We were redeemed, spirit, soul, and body. And the Bible says, if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now, if you go all the way back to Deuteronomy 8:18, Moses was talking about this prosperity. Remember your Lord that gives you the ability to get wealth. He does that because he has a covenant with you. He made a covenant with Abraham. He said, everything you put your hands on, he said, I will bless it. He said, I will bless those that bless you, and I will curse those that curse you. So when we got saved, we were redeemed. The Bible says, if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So you've got to know that God wants you to prosper. God is a good God. And God gives us the power to get wealth. He does that so he can establish his covenant with us. Now, we're going to heaven. You can be poor and go to heaven. But while you're here, you need to have all of your need met according to God's riches and glory by Christ Jesus. How many believe that? I tell you, I can remember growing up when, you know, we didn't have an awful lot. And I just thank God for what he has done. And I tell my children, I say, when you see all this stuff, don't think I did it. Just know this, I worked the principles of God, and God did it. And God will do it for anybody. But that principle, you must know. Now, you can have the world's goods and not know God. And if you don't know God, you are not prosperous. So you're on your way to prosperity right now. I don't care if you just got saved, whether you have a job or whether you don't. You are on your way to prosperity because you know God. That's the first step. Prosperity is God. He is the giver. He gives the rain. He gives the sunshine. He gives the mind. He gives the ability. God gives the thrust. If you have a thrust, a dynamic thrust inside of you, you didn't manufacture that. God gave it to you. I have a thrust inside of me. I told my wife, I said, if you want to stop me, just stop me. I said, I have to do something. I have to work. I have to achieve. It's inside of me. Brother Bud Tedder, 89 years of age, he's a doer. He just not sit around. He'll be out golfing or hunting or working on lawnmowers. He's got a thrust inside. He didn't manufacture that. God gave him that thrust. But he has worked all his life, and he still likes to work. And people know him for that, too. So, first of all, prosperity is God. Not only is prosperity God, but prosperity is family. It's togetherness. It's building a segment of society together. You might be a banker. You might control millions of dollars. But if you lose your family, you are not prosperous. If you lose your family, even if you have millions of dollars, you're not happy. And if you're not happy, you're not prosperous. God wants his people to be happy. Blessed is the man. Happy is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinner, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night. Why? Because he's happy. He likes to talk to God. She likes to talk to God. She loves to hear what the Lord has to say. But see, if you lose your family, that you're not prosperous. I'm talking about real prosperity of the human person. So at the end of the journey, you can hold your head up and you can say, it's been a great life. It's been a happy life. It's been a loving life. It's been a life of prosperity. I'm ready to go. Hallelujah. Great it is to dream a dream when you stand in youth by the starry stream. But a greater thing is to live life through and say at the end, the dream came true. Now, my dreams were broken. My life was fragmented 36 years ago. But I gave myself totally to the Lord, and he's done it all. He's a great God, and we got people in here, all types of testimonies. So if you are at the place where you've been shattered and you're rebuilding, this is for you. If you're watching by live stream and Facebook Live, this is for you, because there are principles to achieving. And it doesn't matter if you're a businessman or whatever you are. If your family falls apart, you're not prosperous. You're in trouble and you need help. So what is total prosperity? It is achievement. It is a vocation carried out well. It could be manufacturing. It could be banking. We got people working factory. We got bankers in here. Hallelujah. It could be medicine. We got people in the medical profession. It could be sports. It could even be ministry. It could be a military career. It doesn't matter what it is. Prosperity has to do with achievement. Achieving something. Never being satisfied. Start where you are. Use what you have. Make something of it. Never be satisfied. There's a lot more inside of us than we've ever used. And I say, God, don't let me leave this planet and not reach my potential. God, don't let me fail to achieve everything you wanted me to achieve. I want to live my life to the fullness. I've got a picture of Dr. Lester Sumrall in my office, and he wrote this before he died. He said, "Goodbye, planet Earth. It's been a great life." I like that, you know. He was such an optimist about life and about achieving. And he really affected my life, I tell you. We need mentors like that. He was a great mentor of mine. Your father could give you $1 million if he had to give you. If you don't achieve something, that's not a prosperous life. If you don't achieve, you're not prosperous. It's not the money, it's the achievement. If you're given money and you don't do something with it, you just happen to be a channel through which that money flowed out, and others are going to get it, and you're not going to have anything. People that achieve are people that plan. They are people that they're good stewards of what God puts in their hands. Amen. So prosperity is achievement. A prosperous soul is achieving soul. And of course, prosperity does have to do with success. It does have to do with wealth. We understand that. But you cannot take this thing apart and have prosperity. If you accumulate wealth and lose your health, that is not prosperity. I remember when I bought a brand new car, and then I found out I had to have open heart surgery. That car meant nothing to me. I mean, a fine automobile. But I thought, dear God, here I am, got have quadruple bypass. So that is not, you know, prosperity is health. I said, "God, I want you to heal me. I believe you will." And he did. So that's prosperity right there. To gain wealth and lose your family, that's not prosperity. To gain fame and fortune and wealth and not know God and to die and go to hell, that's not prosperity. So step number one, you must know what prosperity is. Step number two, you've got to know that wealth is not evil. Wealth is not evil. We have some religious people that think if you've been blessed of God, that you're not a godly person. You know, they say money is the root of all evil. No, it isn't. It's the love of money. Some people think that wealth is evil, but wealth is not evil. You can be just as evil with 50 cents as a person with $1 million, because evil is what's on the inside of people. Where sin did abound, grace does much more abound. Where did sin abound? In our hearts. Where does grace much more abound? In our hearts. And it depends on the spirit that's on your life, whether it's the spirit of mammon or whether it's the spirit of God. I want God's spirit on my monies, on my life, on everything. So what is God's desire concerning you? Look at 3 John 1:2. God said, "Beloved, I wished above all things thou mayest prosper." So that has to do with material things. Watch this thing. And be in health. That's your physical being. God wants you to prosper. God wants you to be in good health. So that's your physical being. Even as your soul, that's your spirit parts. As your soul prospers. So there you have body, soul, and spirit. We are tripartite beings. We have a body that we live in. We have a soul, mind, will, and emotions. And then we have a spirit inside of this clay body. The real you is the hidden man of the heart. Where does grace much more abound? In the heart. It's God's love. Where does God's love abound? In our heart. The love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. So there are three parts of your total being. So total prosperity, it has to do with your spirit, your soul, and your body. Who wants money if they're sick? It doesn't do you any good. If you're dying, you're just going to leave it to somebody else. I want life, and I want it more abundantly. That's what Jesus came for us to have. And when it's time for me to go, I want to climb a mountain like Moses. Actually, I want to be preaching. About 95 years of age, laying my hands on this next generation, passing spiritual gifts to them, and say, "Hallelujah, here I come, Lord." Moses climbed a mountain. He was 120 years of age. His eyesight hadn't even abated. Do you know my eyes have reversed? They have. I went to get my eyes checked, and the doctor said, You don't even need anything in that eye. And then I came, we were traveling, and I told Teresa, I said, I don't have my contacts in. I've forgotten all about it. But I could see. I just see a little bit clearer. So God just keep on reversing them. Hallelujah. I like Psalm 103, verse 5. He renews our youth like that of the eagles. So you don't have to be old to die. That's what I'm trying to say. Hallelujah. You don't have to die because you're old. You can live a prosperous, happy, abundant life. And it's when time to go, then you just go. Going to a city whose builder maker is God. Now, when you know this, then you're on your way. Look at Deuteronomy 8:18. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is thee who gives thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto the fathers as it is this day. Understand your covenant relationship, that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The shepherd is my Lord. Because I've come under the lordship of Jesus Christ, I shall not want. My God shall supply, your God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Be a good steward of what God has given you. You must know that wealth is not evil. It's only evil if you make it evil. It's only evil if you have the wrong spirit or the wrong attitude toward it. So God can give you things, and guess what? You can pass those things on to others and bless them. We sing that song, I am blessed, I am blessed. Every day I wake up, I'm blessed. It was so short, I said, I'll just write another part to it, Lord. And so I am blessed to be a blessing, blessed to be a blessing. I am blessed to be a blessing in Jesus' name. I am blessed going out. I am blessed coming in. I am blessed to be a blessing in Jesus' name. Why is that? Because I have covenant rights with my heavenly Father. You have covenant rights. And it's God that gives you the power to get wealth and to accumulate and gives the thrust that you can achieve in life. Hallelujah. So you've got to know that, you know, when God blesses you, he does that so you can bless other people. If you don't have something to give, you can't give it. And, everywhere I go, there's somebody that has a tremendous need. You found that out, haven't you? That everywhere you go, that God sends people your way. I was sitting in a restaurant yesterday. I left a nice tip, and I looked over there, and the tip had doubled. And so Teresa said, we left her a nice tip, didn't we? She said, did you see what I did? I said, I sure did. I said, I left her a nice. But, you know, the Lord spoke to my heart and told me to bless that woman. And then he spoke to her heart and told her. So she got a double blessing because of the blessings of God on our life. I left a nice tip. It was more than what is customary. But then Teresa, because God touched her heart. See, he gives the thrust, and then he says, I want you to bless that person. And if it's a gift called giving. And God wants us to be generous when he has blessed us with so much. We receive our spiritual blessings and our financial blessings because we're the seed of Abraham. God promised to bless Abraham. And if we're Christ, and if you be Christ, then you're Abraham's seed, and you're an heir according to that promise that goes all the way back to Father Abraham. So just believe God that he's good and that he wants to bless you. And these people that want to talk about, you know, prosperity in a negative way, don't listen to them. They don't know what they're talking about. Because I promise you, they're getting all that they can get. They're doing everything they can to hoard it. Amen. And they want more and more. So just know that God loves you, God is for you, and God wants to bless you. That doesn't mean you have to be a millionaire. It just means you have all of your need met and that you don't have to worry about the monies. Poverty is a terrible thing, but God doesn't want us living there. We're rich in Christ. That's the greatest thing. But he also wants us to have abundance in other areas of our life. Step number three. Refuse wrong motives. Now, some people miss prosperity because they get a little money and then they begin to love money. I've had it happen. People that I had blessed, people I had business connections with, and then they want it all. It didn't bother me a whole lot because I know one thing. There's plenty to go around. And my prosperity and my blessings are not connected to them. My blessings are connected to God. He is the source. And once you realize that and you understand God is my source, then you can pray and you can ask the Father, and it's the Father's good pleasure to bless you, to give you the kingdom. You're in His kingdom. You belong to Him. Step number three, refuse wrong motives. Look at 1 Timothy 6 and 10. For the love of money is the root of all evil. That is right there in your Bible. Which while some covet after, they have erred from the faith that pierced themselves through with many sorrows. They get a little bit, and then they begin to love the money. They begin to seek the blessing and not the blesser. I just decided a long time ago, I'll seek the blesser. Hallelujah. I've known Christians when they got saved, they were in poor financial condition. They began to seek God. They began to follow godly principles. And I watched God bless their lives. I've known some of them, once that they've tasted of financial prosperity, they cannot handle it. They begin to love money, and money becomes their God. Don't ever let money become your God. This is a scripture I live by right here, Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That's holiness. Live right. Live according to the word of God. Seek Him and His kingdom, and to live a life that pleases God. And He said, I'll add all the stuff you'll ever need. You just got to know that. It takes the struggle out of the struggle. You work, you plan, you prepare, you get your education, you walk through the doors that God opens, and when a promotion comes, you don't sit back in fear. You says, yes, I'll step through that door. And it takes faith to do that. But faith is always moving. That's what I love about faith. Faith is not stagnant. Faith challenges me even still. I realize I'm not 25 anymore, but I'm still challenged by faith to go and achieve and to do. A prosperous soul is an achieving soul. Don't seek money. Don't seek material things. Seek God and know that God understands that you have need of certain things. And if you will follow godly principles and if you will seek God, prosperity will follow you. Selfishness is wrong. Greed is wrong. And if you gain the whole world and lose your soul, the Bible says, does it profit you? Seek God. Amen. If you lose your soul, you certainly don't have prosperity. Step number four, learn that prosperity is not an accident. Oh, I wished I had been born like him. I wished I had this. I wish my family had had that. No, start where you are. You can't start where they are. Use what you have. Make something of it. And never be satisfied. Just pick up a dollar here, pick up another one there, and five here and ten there, and follow godly principles, do right. Don't try to push yourself ahead of anybody else. God will get you there. You don't have to worry about it. Seek Him. He'll add everything you'll ever need. He's a great God. So there are forces that produce prosperity. There are forces in you that will produce it. Look at this, Proverbs 6 and 10. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. So prosperity is not an accident. If you just fold your hands and sit back and say, well, que sera, sera, whatever will be, you won't ever be prosperous. You've got to plan. You've got to prepare yourself. It's never too late to get an education. It's not. It's never too late to prepare yourself for a career if you want one. And just use what you are. I'll never forget, you know, I got out of high school and I went to a community college and technical institute at the time. I worked in a grocery store. I walked 5 miles. I showed Teresa that walk to get to work. Back then I had those Honda Dream motorcycles, and I had a dream. I'd like to have one of those things. I mean, I'm walking, I'm hoofing it. Rain, sleet, or snow, there I go. You know, I could have done something on that little Honda Dream, but I had a car, but I couldn't afford to drive it. I couldn't afford insurance. All I could afford to do was get me a room and eat. I was staying and counting my money to make sure I had enough money to eat. But I said, nobody will stop me. I will achieve. And I just kept on at it. And that's what you have to do. You cannot say I never had a chance. Yes, you do. Start where you are. Use what you have. Make something of it. Never be satisfied. You can do it. Why can I say that? Because the Bible says I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. And every one of you on your way to prosperity, no matter where you are. No matter where you are, you know God, and God is prosperity. So that's the wonderful thing. Now, God cannot bless laziness, and laziness causes poverty. You just got to know that. God says, 6 days shall thou labor and do all thy work. The seventh belongs to God. I was working a job. I had a good job. And I read that, 6 days shall thou labor. I said, I've got a 40-hour work week. I am missing one entire day of work. I know that's the American dream, a 40-hour work week, and you work there 30 years and you retire. But a bright light went on. I said, 6 days shall thou labor. So I prayed. I said, God, I want a business. I want to preach. And so I prayed. And something came across my desk, and it showed America's disposable income. And the first area was real estate. The second one was food. And the third one was transportation. I said, I'll take the third one there. And I started a little business repairing cars. I never turned a wrench. I just used my brain. I used the gifts I had. Started where I was. I used what I had. I had some money. I put it up. I took a chance. And guess what? It prospered. God prospered it. And now, Teresa said, you weren't working 6 days. You were working 6 days and six nights, Jerry. But I was working, you know. But what it did, that extra day just put a thrust in my life that I'm enjoying today. Because I was willing. God spoke to me. And I said, you're missing one day. 6 days shall thou labor. And we want to play. Go fishing, play golf, play basketball, football, whatever we want to do. Go to the coast on that seventh day. That sixth day. Yeah, I said it right. Some people do it on the seventh day, too. That was a mistake, but it wasn't a mistake. Amen. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shall thou labor and do all thy work. But the Sabbath belongs to the Lord. Give him a day. I promise you, you will never, never miss it. God will make the time up to you. God will not let you outdo him in any way. If you obey him, God's blessings will flow to your life. It's just that simple. How many believe that? Look at this. How many believe God believes in work? Look at Proverbs 6:6. Go to the ant, thou slugger. Consider her ways and be wise. Which having no guide or overseer or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. I mean, just a little ant. So prosperity is not an accident. Just look at that little ant working away. I got me an ant colony one time for the kids, but I was studying those things. I wanted to find out how much work they did. Boy, you ought to watch those fellas. They buried their dead. They cleaned the place out. They just work and work and work. So, you know, take an object lesson. That's the way my brain works anyway. I don't know how yours works, but that's the way mine works. Hallelujah. But if you're lazy, you know, if you don't save something, if you don't use what God has given you wisely, you cannot be prosperous. I tell all of my children, I said, pay your tithe and save something out of every paycheck. I said, do not live at your level of income. Live below your level of income. And save something. I told my wife, I said, if I didn't have money to buy a kitchen table, I'd eat on a pasteboard box. until I got the money saved to buy that. Quit buying stuff on credit. Amen. Don't. The Bible says that the borrower is a servant, a slave to the lender. I don't want to be a slave to anybody except the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you wait, if you plan, God will send it. He's a good God. And the more you do and allow yourself to trust him, the more he'll send you away. A nation that wastes will die, whether it's America or anyone else. You've got to be a good steward of what God gives you. Look at Proverbs 28:19. He that tilleth his land shall have plenty of bread. So get out there. If you got some land, start working. Hallelujah. But he that followeth after the vain person shall have poverty enough. Don't follow losers. Find somebody that's on their way. Don't follow a loser. They're not going anywhere. Don't follow the drug dealers. Don't follow those running to the parties. Don't follow them. They're not wise. Follow somebody that has some wisdom, some godly wisdom, somebody that applying godly principles, and learn from them. And learn some principles and start doing this thing. Get in a good church where the word of God is taught. Amen. Prosperity comes from God. Won't come from God, but God wants us to be prosperous. He puts that want, that desire in a person to achieve. You know, I want to achieve. Not that I want to hoard it on myself. I want to achieve because prosperity is achievement. That's what it is. And the more you achieve, the more you can bless somebody else. That's what real ministry is all about. You'd be surprised at the people that my wife knows that I'm here and there. And there's a little young boy in church tonight because we tried to get him a job. I mean, what does that have to do with being a pastor? A whole lot. I know he has a tremendous need, and I believe in work and a work ethic, and I heard about a job opening, and so I sent him there. Hallelujah. Maybe it'll work out, maybe it won't, but I did my part. Amen? Prosperity comes from God. Prosperity is not an accident. It's a gift from God. Step number 5. I want to give you God's formula for prosperity. This is God's formula. Some people won't believe this, but if you don't follow this principle right here, you will never have true prosperity. Start where you are. Use what you have. What do you have? I just get a check, a small check. Well, pay your tithe. Use what you got. Make something of it. Never be satisfied. Keep on achieving. Look at this, Malachi 3:8. Will a man rob God? God said, you have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? God says, in tithes and in offering. He said, because of my mercies, he told these people, he said, you sons of Jacob, you have a covenant, but like your fathers, you've gone away from my ordinance. You've not done what I told you to do. They said, how have we robbed you? How have we failed? Have we gone away? He said, you've robbed me. He said, Malachi 3:8, will a man rob God? You've robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? God says, in tithes and offerings. Malachi 3:9, look at that. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, the whole nation. He was talking to a nation that was under covenant. Well, we got the same covenant with the children of Abraham. Malachi 3:10, God, here's his instruction. He says, if you want prosperity, he says, bring all your tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat or provision in my house. See, God says, I want my work to prosper just like any other work in my house. He says, prove me. God says, I will open the windows of, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven, pour you out a blessing, that there will not be room enough to receive it. And then he goes on to say, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. Now, how many of you got cars that just keep on running and keep on running and keep on running? Look at that. How many of you, your refrigerators and your stuff and You just run and run. We got our original refrigerator. I bought a new one for my wife, but the original one is sitting over at the old campus, and it's still going 36 years later. I mean, that thing's still getting it, you know. Brother Larry Rowe, I'll never forget this. I had a heat pump. I would almost freeze to death. I couldn't afford a gas pack at the time, and my heat pump went out. And I called him up. I was not his pastor at the time. I said, Brother Larry, I said, I've heard you're the best in town. I need you to come fix this thing. He looked at it. He said, there's no way that thing's going to work. I said, Brother Larry, you work on it, and I'll pray. That thing's going to work in Jesus' name. And I prayed, and he worked, and guess what? I finally got me a gas pack, and that thing was still working. And I told him about it, too. I just prayed it through, hallelujah. You know we pray people through in these halls? I prayed that thing through. And it just didn't put out the heat. A gas pack puts out about 100-plus degree air. A heat pump puts out 90-point-something. And unless the strips kick in. Well, you got a body that's 98.6 degrees. And every time that thing returns to the return air, it pulls that air over you and you just sit there. The old ones, the new ones are a lot better now. And you just sit in there and freeze. You go outdoors and you come in and say, "Woo, it feels good in this place." Sit there about 15 minutes. You'll be cold again. Get your gas pack. Hallelujah. But thank God, you know, prosperity showed up and I was able to buy a gas pack. I couldn't at the time. It was just beyond me. But I just kept working this thing and working this thing and working this thing. I just kept trusting God and believing God. Amen. Pay your tithes if you really want to be prosperous. There are a lot of people in the church who need to get a hold of this principle. But it's right there in the Bible. I see a lot of heads, yeah. And there are people that have tried it. They proved, God said, prove me. He says, just test me, try me, and see if I won't bless you. See, America is one of the most blessed nations on this planet. Well, it is, you know, why? Because 90% of all the missionary dollars come out of America. We give more to the poor, to the hurting, to the broken than any other nation on this planet. If we ever stop giving, then if we ever stop caring for the poor, then this nation will be in trouble. But God will bless those who give to the poor. Look at Proverbs 19:17. I love this verse right here. That's why when you see someone with a tremendous need, the Bible says, don't shut up your compassion, your bowels of compassion. If you have it, don't just say, go and be blessed. Take care of that need. Look at this. Proverbs 19:17. 17, not 7. Proverbs 19:17. He that hath pity upon the poor, look at this, lendeth unto the Lord. Wow. If you have pity on the poor, you lend to the Lord, and that which he hath given, he will repay. God says, I'll repay you back. God said, you take care of that need of that poor person. I sent you by there to do it. I bless you. I've given you money, and I want you to take care of that need. Don't shut up your bowels of compassion. My heart reaches out to people like that. I hope yours does. We're a giving church, and we give a lot. I mean, we really are a giving church. But God says, if you give to the poor, he said, you're lending to me. He said, and I'll repay it. Isn't that a powerful verse of scripture? I tell you, that's real powerful there. See, Jesus is the giver. And look at Luke 6:38. It says, give it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. God says, shall men give unto your bosom. God says, I will cause you to get raises if you'll become a giver. I will cause others to give you promotions. They won't even understand why they chose you. It's because you're such a giver. You're just like me, God says. I put it in your heart. I'm a giver. God so loved the world, he gave. And I want you to be a giver. I want you to be like me. I want you to have my character. I want you to have my love. I want you to have the characteristics that I display to others. I want you to display them. And God says, I'll bless you if you'll give. See, if you give, you're going to get. If you just spread it around, it's going to come back to you. Doesn't make sense. It's not sense. It's spirit. I'm an accountant. It does not make any sense. But I said, God, I'll just do it anyway. I will obey. Look at this. Proverbs 11:25. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered himself. Step number 6, share with others. This is a powerful step right here. 1 Kings 17. Here we come into a tremendous truth. The widow of Zarephath, if she had not given to Elijah first, she would have starved to death. All that widow had left was a cruse of oil and a little meal. And the prophet had the audacity. He said, I want you to make a cake for me first. Well, my son and I'm going to make one for my son and myself, and we're going to eat it and die. He said, no, I want you to operate on God's principle, and I want you to give first. It wasn't the fact that he was the prophet. It was the fact God sent him there as a prophet to bless that woman. The principle is, I want you to give first so I can bless you. We're coming up to a season right now. So she gave first, and she and her son lived, and they had food as long as there was trouble in that land. Look at Proverbs 11:24. There is that scattereth and yet increase. Look at that. There is that scattereth and yet increase. You can give and have more. There is that withholdeth more than is necessary and it tendeth to poverty. Wow. God is a good God. We're talking about prosperity. Step number 7. Believe it when God speaks to you. When God speaks to you, don't just be a hearer of the word. Become a doer. Believe that when you hear this word right here, that it's God speaking to you. Whether it's a Sunday school teacher, whether it's the preacher, or whether it's at your home and having devotion. When you read this, know God is speaking to you. Look at this right here, step number 7. 2 Chronicles 20:20. And they arose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Look, believe in the Lord your God. So shall you be established. Believe his prophets. So shall you prosper. You must believe it when God speaks to you. If you don't believe what I'm teaching tonight, it won't work for you. But I've given you 7 powerful steps, and I know they work because I worked them. Hallelujah. You must believe when God speaks. And I'm speaking the word of God. So God is talking. If you believe in the Lord your God, you shall be established. If you believe the prophets and the preachers that rightly divide the word of truth, if you believe those that God sends to speak into your life, if you believe the word that they speak, you'll prosper. You can get healed. You can get saved. You can get delivered. You can get filled with the Holy Ghost. God said, whatever I speak, I watch over that word to perform it. Isn't that what the Bible said? God said, I watch over my word to perform it. So when God sends you a word, get a hold of that. Say, woo, he's talking to me. I got a hotline to glory. God sent me a message, and I'm going to do what God says. Amen. If you're faithful over a few things, Jesus said, I'll make you ruler over many. If you wish God to make you ruler over a lot of stuff, you got to be faithful where you are. Start where you are. Use what you have. Make something of it. Never be satisfied. Prosperity is not money. Prosperity is achievement. It is a vocation well carried out. It is family. It is God, a relationship with God. And if you will put your hand in God's hand and obey his word, God will bless you. We all come at different stages. Everyone in here is in a different stage in their life as far as prosperity. But if you will apply godly principles and take these seven steps, then you can achieve what God has purposed for your life. Why can I say that? Because He's a good God. He said, I know the thoughts I have for you, thoughts of good, not of evil, to give you a future, to give you a hope, to give you an expected end. Let us stand. Seek ye first the kingdom.